So Nia, the Makbuz, it happens.
Laibach formed in 1980 in Trebolje, a revolutionary mining town in Slovenia. The group appeared on the scene in the guise of a totalitarian organism, with a zeal for authority that exceeded even that of the state. These kinds of attitudes led them to be denounced as reactionary troublemakers, and they were banned from playing in their own country for years. In 1984, with the visual arts collective Irwin and the group Gledalice Sesta Sipio Masise, Laibach founded the aesthetic movement NSK, Neue Slowenische Kunst, which is widely considered to be one of the most powerful and controversial artistic experiences of recent decades. To coincide with their visit to the Makba to present Kunst der Fuge, Sunia talked to Ivan Novak, one of the members of Laibach, about its history and his views on some of the recurring themes in the group's work. Early years.
Basically, the time between 1980 till 1985 was really the time when we were putting together the foundation of Laibach. The first 5 years were most important because we actually create the strategy, the manifesto. We made some important decisions. We signed contracts with record labels, which was very important for us to actually enter into the popular culture, which was one part of the strategy, and that was it. Basically, in those first 5 years, we more or less said everything which had to be said.
Too radical for their context.
Well, we started in 1980 in our hometown Trbovlje, which is a very small town, industrial, very rural in a mental terms. It was really no surprise that in a place like that, something like Laibach would be forbidden straight away. It's simply because we were, you know, too much radical for the area. We were never worried because many of our shows were forbidden, or some exhibitions were forbidden, and so on. It was simply a reaction.
From NSK to the NSK state.
In 1983, Laibach was forbidden officially, and soon we have established with fellow groups, Irwin, Scipio Nasice Theater, and New Collectivism, and so on, so-called Neue Slowenische Kunst. And Laibach, for some reason, turned into popular culture, so we less and less did exhibitions, and we went into popular culture, which was for us much more challenging. And Laibach actually gave all, you know, everything we had, all the motives, all the ideology, everything, for, you know, to everybody else to use it. And there was kind of combination between us, and we actually supported each other for a while. We did some big events, like, you know, either a theater event, or it was this poster campaign, or Laibach concert, which was backed up by the, you know, the theater and so on. This went on till a successful marriage went on till approximately 1992, that we are launching the state of NSK, which is maybe a step further. It's a kind of social sculpture. It has not such rigid structure as Neue Slowenische Kunst had before. And so, you know, we are giving this state to the citizens. Everybody can become the citizen. There is no leader or anything like that. It's a new form, which yet has to be formed properly. And since 1992, basically the combination between all the three groups was pretty much lost. I mean, we did certain things, we supported each other still for a certain time, but now we actually don't really work together the way we did in the 1980s anymore, and that's simply the fact. But the idea of the NSK state still exists and still go on, and recently people, citizens themselves, they started to create, you know, congresses and so on, and which is, you know, a nice experiment. But this NSK has nothing to do with historical NSK from the 80s.
Popular culture.
The main reason is that what we did, for instance, within the popular culture, it was always treated, popular culture was always treated as something not serious, you know, something as a joke, an entertainment industry and so on. Nevertheless, also in communism, well, this is an entertainment industry for kids, you know, let them have their fun. And so on. And when Laibach did, you know, when we did our shows, like we did a show in Music Biennale in Zagreb in 1983, which was a big scandal, we did absolutely relevant show with all the multimedia, you know, kind of thing, the same like, you know, other guys did, like Stockhausen, Xenakis, Kagel, Berio, you know, everybody else. But of course, because everybody treated and understood Laibach as a popular culture, there was a problem straight away there. Like the high culture can do, you know, all the nonsense. But, you know, popular culture has to stay within the entertaining frames. And because Laibach never actually accept the entertaining role, nevertheless that we are working within the popular culture and entertaining industry, partly, this is partly an entertaining industry, but we always have seen it as a much more important one.
Over-identification as a strategy.
The over-identification, which many people are saying that, you know, it's most important what we did, is only, you know, one part of the working method. And in the 80s, for instance, it was really important for us to use it within the context of, you know, falling apart system and so on. But nowadays, of course, over-identification is something we don't need to, you know, to try hard to be there, because the system itself is forcing us to over-identify ourselves with it. The capitalist system is oppressive system, and, you know, it does actually force everybody to be part of it through this, you know, over-identification of consumerism and so on.
The meaning of totalitarianism.
Totalitarianism for us is something which is omnipresent, seriously, which goes really like, which is total in its presence. And that doesn't, but at least for us, it doesn't really mean only political systems. Usually people are saying, oh, totalitarianism, that's, you know, Stalinism, fascism, Nazism, and that's it. And then you have the, you know, the all the other, the China, communist China, and Red Khmers, and I don't know what kind of, and Cuba, and so on. It's complete nonsense, because, you know, everybody knows that the most totalitarian country in the world nowadays is, you know, the biggest democracy in the world, and that's America. It wouldn't be so easy to call them totalitarian state, but in fact they are absolutely totalitarian, because, you know, even if you go there as a tourist, you feel feel that if you're a little bit sensitive, you are scared.
Words are flying out like endless rain into a paper cup. They sleet while they pass their sleep away across the universe.
Originality is irrelevant.
And we don't really see the reason for seeking for originality. What for, you know? Even in art, there's a big debate of originality, like, wow, this is very original. This is the old philosophical debate, basically, between Aristotle and Plato, you know, and is the tree original or is the image of the tree original? The term originality for us is irrelevant. We, for instance, we are inspired by the history completely, by art, and we believe that more important than the text itself is the context, because one text in certain context can be absolutely non-problematic. But then put it in a different context where this text can suddenly, you know, start to work. And this is, for instance, what Laibach did. When we were playing within the, you know, entertaining industry, something which did not belong there, which was taken from a different context, there was a problem, because suddenly this text, which wouldn't be so problematic within the art context, suddenly it started to function here. Here it actually got the real meat and the real message and so on. And that was, this is like how we were playing constantly with taking the text from one context into another context. And this is, for instance, much more important for us.
Kunst der Folie.
Well, Kunst der Fuge is the last work by Johann Sebastian Bach, who was, of course, one of the biggest composers of all times. It's also interesting partly because the historians are not entirely sure if it has been really completely written by Bach. So there's the question of originality, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, the other thing here was interesting is that Bach was pretty much a regime artist, which means that most of his works he did because he was asked to, because they were ordered by, you know, his master's church or whoever. But this work was his very honest work. I mean, he did it without any pragmatic background, you know. There was no order. He did it purely for his own pleasure. And it's very abstract work. It's a completely abstract work. It's actually a kind of manifest of how to make perfect fugue, which is of course a Baroquean form, and it's very mathematical. And it was not written for any instrument. Like Bach did all his, you know, music very particularly written for designated instruments and so on, but this one he didn't write it for any instrument. And it's very, very mathematical. It could also be computer language, the binary computer system and so on. It's all there, and he used kind of mathematical formulas to put it together, which has been later on defined by different, you know, mathematicians and so on. So it could also be a proto-computer language. That's why we decided to do it by computers, which means we actually fed up. We did it in 2006 because we were invited by the Bach Festival in Leipzig to do something, and we decided for the Live Bach Kunst der Fuge. So you have the, you know, all the names there. And Live Bach Kunst der Fuge, it's really just a symbolic concert. It's not exactly the classical Live Bach concert, but it's a concert which we actually did quite a few of the concerts with this program all around Europe, which is funny because we never expected that we're going to do it. It's kind of quite unpretentious. Of course, it's pretentious because Laibach is playing Bach, but the concert does not really have a spectacular dimension. And many people were, you know, many of hardcore Laibach followers were, of course, very disappointed because suddenly they had to listen to Baroquean music, which I think it's very nice.
Macba.cat.